Welcome back, and thanks for listening to the Coach's Playbook podcast. Please feel free to reach out and ask about any topic that may interest you or other high school coaches as we are trying to grow the game in our state and throughout the country. On today's episode, we have Coach Sam Williams of Eastern Kentucky University joining us to discuss how she was able to turn around EKU basketball so quickly in just her first year. We also get into defending ATO situations and whether you should change it up or do what's worked out of the timeout in late game situations. Coaches taking over a new program or just looking to reboot will really enjoy this episode. We are really fortunate to have Coach Sam Williams from Eastern Kentucky University with us today. Coach Williams was previously an assistant coach at the University of Louisville. I can't emphasize enough the turnaround that Coach Williams was able to perform in just one season. EKU was 2-27 last year, and neither one of those wins were against Division I opponents. This year, they were 11-18 and won 5 conference games, and she has definitely won my vote for first season coach of the year. Coach Williams, thanks for joining the show.
Oh, hi, thanks for having me.
You know, everybody, I think most of the high school coaches kind of keep tabs and keep an eye on, you know, how all of the colleges, at least in our state, are doing. And you really, I mean, put EKU on the map in just one year. And I think there was waves sent through the entire state, you know, at both the high school coaching level and the summer, you know, the recruiting level, of just seeing that, you know, Eastern is more than, you know, I mean, it's a competitive program now. And, you know, another turnaround like that, and it'll be scary to see where you guys could be.
Well, that's one of the reasons that I, you know, took the job, is I saw the potential, and I knew about the history of the program and it being one of the top teams in the OVC. And, you know, I saw an opportunity there that I knew that it could be successful again. And I knew going into this year we were going to take, you know, our bumps and bruises, but I knew we were not going to finish last. The way, you know, we were preseason voted upon. And you know, and taking it over, one of the first things I had to do was change the mindset. Because, you know, when you are losing and you kind of snowball and losing, you can also snowball in your thinking and kind of have a, I'm not calling them losers, but you kind of have a loser mentality of, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, well, it doesn't matter. Well, you got to go in thinking and expect to win for you to even have a chance to win. And that was one of the first things that I had to, and my staff had to do, is just change the mindset.
Yeah, let's just keep building on that, because I think that's probably, you know, the purpose of this podcast, it's truly for high school coaches, just to help grow the game to, you know, just, and we're covering a lot of different areas through this. And, you know, I think coaches that are taking over a new program, or maybe somebody that's just looking to kind of reboot a culture or reboot a program, they'd love to know how you're able to come in and find so much success so fast, from, you know, from maybe both the culture and the conceptual standpoint. You know, what were some of those things? How do you get kids to change that mindset, mm-hmm. that, you know, how do you not get them to think they're supposed to lose?
Well, I think you got to show them that you believe in them. I think that's it's one of the old sayings, you know, like they don't care how much you care unless they know that you care about them. Like they don't care about what you know. And that's one of the things that we addressed, is we had to let those kids know that it was a brand new start, and just forget about the past. It doesn't matter. And it's a clean slate. And then we had to go in and just really show them, for you to have confidence, you got to deserve that confidence, meaning you got to do your part, whether getting in the gym, eating right, and, you know, being a good teammate. If you can do those things, your confidence comes. It's more than just like talking a good game. You got to know that you have done all the right things, and to be a winner, if that makes sense. So that's one of the things that we just really harped upon, is just building the confidence from a standpoint of deserving to win. It's one, you know, you can go in and say, oh, we're going to win, but do you deserve? Have you done the little things that's going to give you an edge when you're going up against more talented teams?
That's good. You know, when you come in and you're thinking, okay, we've got to implement a system, you know, we've got to get our style of play in. How much is it a, you know, let's do what we need to do to win now, as opposed to, you know, we need to start putting stuff in that maybe it may not fit these players, but this is the direction we're mm-hmm. headed. Where does, how do you just kind of, you know, piece all that together?
We did a little bit of both. And I, you know, going back over the stats, I probably let our team shoot a few more threes than they should have, because we were just not a very good 3-point shooting teams, but that's the way I want to play. I want all five players on the court to have the ability and the green light to shoot the three. But with that, you got to, you know, get in the gym and work on your three. But, you know, I probably would have changed that a little bit going back. But what we did last year is I had to assess what we had and go from there. I think you can be a little bit stubborn in terms of if you just say, well, this is how we're going to do it, and I'm not changing. But you also got to know what are your players capable of doing and putting them in the best situations to be successful and to be flexible and do whatever that is.
Okay. That's a good, that's a good point. You're talking about, you know, okay, I want to shift to becoming, you know, we want to shoot more threes, you know, aside from, you know, do you do anything that, to try to encourage players to want to get in the gym more, to want, obviously playing time is a motivator, and mm-hmm. a lot of the guys at your level are just, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of them have a different mindset because that's probably what it took to get them there. But mm-hmm. even still, I know everybody's constantly looking to motivate their kids to, you know, to outwork the next guy. What are you doing to, you know, encourage your kids to want to get in the gym? You know, I think all of us want our kids to want to get on the gun mm-hmm. more. You know, we can't hold them at gun points, get on the gun. So mm-hmm. how can we right. instill that want to get them going more?
Well, I think that's for us, because we do recruit. It goes back to even knowing those type of kids that you want to bring in the program. I know it's a little bit different in high school because you're limited to, you know, you might have to deal with kids that are in your district or whatever. But for us, we have to be very, very diligent in asking those right questions about the type of, I call it basketball character. Okay. I think you got two types of character, but you got to have the type of basketball character that you don't have to worry about whether or not they're getting in the gym. And so that's something that we try to hit on the front end, is just bringing those types of kids. And then, you know, we hold them accountable when they're there, once we get them. And then, you know, peer pressure, I think, going back to, I think it's, it goes with playing time. If you see your teammate over there getting in the gym and you're slacking off, I think that kind of motivates kids sometimes. They don't want to be the one that's not getting in the gym. And so that, I think that can kind of motivate them. If you could show, you know, if you've got eight players that are getting in the gym, and, you know, the rest of them are not, I think that kind of help motivate those kids that are not getting in the gym. It's just in my experience.
Right.
Kind of bring them up, you know, they kind of feel that pressure. Hey, I got to do it, you know, to stay. Cause those are what the pillars of your program are. You've got to set the tone early and let your players know what you're going to tolerate and what you're not going to tolerate.
Yeah, that's good stuff, Coach. And I think that plays a lot into, you know, right now, how can, you know, I think programs at every level, the high school and collegiate level, I think people are going to be able to separate some with what they do right now, because this is such an mm-hmm. unprecedented time. I think it's a chance to maybe, you know, take advantage of some teams and maybe jump some teams. Mm-hmm. And likewise, if you're not working, you know, you may get jumped. So, you know, mm-hmm. I think now is a great, you talk about peer pressure, you know, everybody's having to find unique ways to work out, unique ways to get better. And right. I think that I've seen a lot of teams that are, you know, challenging each other in different ways and doing some neat stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think coaches really need to be proactive and communicate with each other to find out, you know, who's doing some really good stuff. And I think that may right. show come season time, you know, depending on how long all this stuff holds out.
Right. I agree.
So looking at, you talked about stats earlier. You know, you guys mm-hmm. finished around the middle of the pack defensively in the conference, which, okay, you say middle of the pack, but with where the program was, that's extreme. I mean, that's really good. That had to be a huge part of the turnaround, right?
It was. And that's something that, again, you know, I want to be a team that not only if you want to win championships, I believe you have to be not only be a, you know, a good scoring team, but you got to be able to play defense. And so, you know, we mixed it up this season. We played probably half and half man and zone. And we were, my philosophy is we're going to be a scouting report defensive team, meaning, you know, my staff does a great job of scouting, and we're going to figure out what you do well, what you don't do well. And then we're going to figure out who are the go-to players and try to take away what they do well. So I think that's what why the percentage of it was almost even is because we didn't have a set defense. We're going to be able – my philosophy, I want to be able to play both man and zone. It just depends on who the opponent is. Like if there's a really good three-point shooting team, we're probably going to try to play man and make them play off the dribble, you know. But if you've got a team that shoots a low percentage from the three, we're probably going to play zone and make you beat us from the outside.
And, you know, again, just that, I think, you know, you talk about playing scouting report defense, especially for high school coaches, where, mm-hmm. you know, very rarely do you guys have one or two people on the floor that you just don't have to guard at all at your level. Right. But at our level, you know, you run into that quite a bit. And I think mm-hmm. you can really steal a lot, you know, steal some wins and different things by mm-hmm. being a scouting report defensive oriented team at our level. But I mean, most certainly at your guys' level as well, you know.
Yeah, you just kind of trust it. You can't be, I guess I get this from Coach Walls at Louisville, because he, you know, he was one of the best I've worked under. Is you kind of just kind of roll the dice. And, you know, basketball is a game of percentages and numbers. So, you know, if someone's not a great shooting team and they come out and they hit 15 threes, well, it probably wasn't your night. But you have to try to take away what a team does well and or make them try to do, you know, what they don't do well.
Yeah, that's great. And I think, too, especially, you know, for coaches that are taking over a new program, you know, you may love, you know, you may be an offensive minded, you know, coach first. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody mm-hmm. loves offense. You know, it's fun. You get to manipulate some things. And, you know, everybody likes seeing the ball go in the hole. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter if you have you know, your best year talent wise or your worst year talent wise. Right. If your defense is anchored down and it's an anchor of your program, mm-hmm. you're going to give yourself a chance. And, you know, I exactly. think people miss out on that a lot. You know, that piece to it is, you know, we can be great. You know, the years we're really talented, mm-hmm. you know, then we can be super, extremely special. In the years where we don't have as much talent, we can still be good and we can still compete defensively. And
exactly.
you know, so I think that's, you know, especially for people taking over a new program. You mentioned it. You said you thought you played about, you know, half and half. Well, you guys played exactly 48% man and 52% zone. So you're about right on it. And
okay.
You were actually one of the top teams in the country in points per possession in your zone. Only allowed 0.69 points per possession. You know, which that puts you up in the 86th percentile in all Division One. That's
oh, wow.
That's I mean, you know, that's really good. And I think you know, especially with as many shooters are in, you know, at mm-hmm. your level, maybe people mm-hmm. are afraid to play zone, or maybe they don't play it or don't teach it as well. But
that's one of the things that I saw in our conference is that a lot of people played like, well, you know, there was our rival, I won't say names, that, you know, I kept wondering why the people were playing a man. And I think that's one of the things that, again, you can't be tied down to one thing, in my opinion. And, you know, we just said, hey, again, if they make, you know, threes, then, you know, we'll just get beat. You know, we played them zone both times and we were able to pull out the win both times.
You know, it's interesting, and you've already addressed this a little bit, but just to kind of get even deeper into it, because I think one of the most basic questions people have about the program, and this covers anybody who's listening, mm-hmm. You know, so when you're kind of deciding man zone, you know, even though your zone was so good and it was so good to you, you know, what are some other reasons why you feel like, okay, we've got to play some man to man, even though, you know, even though our zone is so great, just uh-huh. part of making your zone great is the fact that you can and you will play man, and it's hard to prepare for. But what do you think?
Well, one of the reasons why we did play Maine is that, again, we've done our research and watched a lot of film, and we could see that, you know, maybe they had a team or a player that were not strong ball handlers. And so, you know, so we wanted to put ball pressure on them and make them have to make a play off the dribble. I think that was also one of the main reasons why we wanted to mix it up a little bit and go on man or zone, is that we want to put pressure on them, disrupt them, because we either saw that, hey, you know, they're a really good three-point shooting teams, or, you know, there's a one of the opponents that, you know, we were playing, we didn't think that they could make enough twos. Sometimes a team cannot make enough twos to beat you. Mm-hmm. But you let them shoot from the three-point line and you let them shoot and make 8, 9, well, they're going to beat you. You know, but if you can hold them to, say, 2 or 3, you're going to put yourself in a great position to get that win. You just got, if a team is a three-point shooting team, make them shoot twos. Make them shoot twos.
I think you're spot on there. I think that's something I think it's missed out on a lot is, mm-hmm. you know, is those teams everybody's afraid, you know, nobody wants to give up layups at the rim, but sometimes teams right. are just, they're so inside out that they'll pass up those good looks mm-hmm. or, you know, they're so used to shooting so many threes that mm-hmm. they don't finish as well around the paint through in contact, anything right. like that. You know, and
there's also a concept where, you know, if a team is penetrating and they always kick it, but they don't want to shoot a two, do now help off. That's another concept we're really big on, is make them we call independent contractors. You know, you make them finish at the rim. Do not help in, because that's what they want you to do.
Yeah, I really like that. And I like that your terminology is very, you know, it puts a visualization to it. I think when you have mm-hmm. good terminology, I think it does help your kids execute some too. You know, to do right. this, and I love what you're saying, and we do a ton of the same stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. night in, night out, we may look a lot different defensively mm-hmm. Because we just want to win, and we'll do whatever we think right. helps us win the game.
Exactly.
So what, you know, how much time do you spend in film and scouting report? Do you have kids, you know, do you do individual film sessions with mm-hmm. kids on individuals, or, you know, what does that preparation piece look like for you?
Well, we do, depending on how much time you have, but a typical scouting report, if we have 2 or 3 days before, we'll hand out the actual paper scouting report. And all of our kids have access to Synergy. And so we will give them, you know, kind of a breakdown. Once our coaches have watched the film, we'll give them a breakdown of personnel, their tendencies, what to look for. And our kids will start watching it on their own. About 2 days before is when we'll start watching video with our kids. And we try to keep it to about 10 to 12 minutes of video as a team, because, you know, I think attention spans start to go down once you start getting too long in one sitting. But, you know, we might watch film twice a day. However, we just try to keep it short. And then as far as on the court with the scout, we'll go over some of the actions. We'll do both. We'll do whole, you know, where we're going over their entire play, but we also do, let's say that a team is, they set a lot of ball screens where we're going to mix up. We don't play ball screens one way. We may do 2 or 3, and we're going to practice all of those so that we're ready to, you know, if something stops working and they start figuring out, well, we're going to throw something else at them. You know, well, mm-hmm. we might start out hedging, then we're going to switch, or, you know, now we're going to trap. So we try to have different schemes for different moments, just all depending on, you know, obviously the opponent.
Sure. Okay. Switching gears here a little bit. And part of the reason I want to get into this is when I run into these situations next year, I want to have somebody to blame. So, but I'll give you credit if it works. So,
sure.
In ATO situations defensively. So that's, you know, after mm-hmm. timeouts, you guys are coming out on defense. You guys were up in the mm-hmm. 90th percentile in the country. what is your philosophy on ATO situations? You know, I know a lot of coaches will, you know, mix it up. Okay, we went into the timeout playing man, let's come out zone, or we went in this ball screen defense, let's come out in this. So you've got that train of thought, and you've also got, well, hey, we've stopped them four straight times. Do we outsmart ourselves here and change defenses? And then they score, and then you go, man, I'm an idiot. Why didn't we just do what was working? What's your train of thought?
I've done both and been successful and unsuccessful in both. So, you know, we do try at times to change defenses because we know that they're designing the play for the defense that, that you've been running. So we do definitely, I don't know the percentage of what we change up, but we do that quite a bit. But there are those times when, I think you're just overthinking and overcoaching when you change it up. But as you just said, if you stopped them four times in a row, five times, hey, just keep doing what you're doing. I think you can definitely overcoach and be overthinking things way too much.
All right, you're sending me I'm getting mixed messages here. I was trying to get a set answer so I can blame somebody for what happens later.
Well, I would say if I had a guess without, having proof, I would say we changed it up more than what we say the same.
All right. Well, you guys are awfully good at it. So we may give that a whirl. All right. Final segment here, Coach. I'm gonna put a full court press on you. So we're going to do a rapid fire series of questions. You have about 15 seconds or less to answer. All right.
Okay.
All right. If your opponent takes a lead with 10 seconds to go, are you taking the timeout or are you going to let your kids make a play?
That depends on who you have. And it's a hard question to give you, a set, but because if you've got a playmaker and they've been hot and you've practiced that, let them make a play. But if you've not, you've been not fluent offensively before that, then call a timeout.
Okay. Does high school need a shot clock?
Yes.
You college coaches are all the same. Up three with 8 seconds.
Up three. Hey, I don't even care if it's 45 seconds. Literally, it can be 50 seconds, just something.
All right, I'll take you up on that. Up three with 8 to go at half court. Are you fouling?
No.
Okay. Most memorable game in your coaching career?
At Louisville, we played Baylor in the Sweet 16. Some will call it the greatest upset of all time.
That was an enjoyable one to watch. Best place to eat in Richmond?
I'm going to go with just a simple pizza place, Apollo's Pizza. I think they have one of the best pizza places in Richmond.
All right, Coach. When I get down to Richmond, I'll check that out. I hate that I'm not at an A school anymore where we could get up there and compete at the All-A tournament, but I really appreciate having you on the show, and I think everybody's gonna be able to take some things back to their program and be better for having got to hear from you.
I appreciate it.
All right, Coach, best of luck.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Stay safe out there. Okay.
Yeah. You too. Bye.
For Coach Williams, this is Wyatt Faust, and thanks for listening to the Coach's Playbook podcast. On Thursday, we will bring on Coach Calvin Head from Bowling Green High School and Coach Chris Sauer from South Laurel to talk about using social media to uplift your players, as well as the little things they add into their program to keep it fun and fresh. Until then, keep getting better.